I would like to call to order the Homelessness Subcommittee of the Critical Quality of Life Issues Committee. My name is Nick Allen. I'm the chair of the subcommittee, and with us today is Dawn Gilman, co-chair, who will be leading most of the meeting. Dawn is the CEO and executive director of Changing Homelessness. She's going to be a great partner on this issue. She knows far more about it than I do, so we're lucky to have her with us. Also joining us today on the far right there is Councilman and Vice President of Jacksonville City Council, Ron Salem. And next to me, Mr. Michael Boylan, Councilman Boylan, who's also the chair of the Critical Quality of Life Issues Committee. And I wanted to turn over really quickly to Councilman Boylan to say a few words.
Thank you, Councilmember Holland. And I appreciate very much the fact that you and Dawn have stepped up to navigate us through this critical quality of life issue, the homeless issue. I want to recognize also Elizabeth Payne from Northeast Florida Regional Council is here. She is my wing person in this process in terms of making sure we have the structure and the processes in place and that we have some deliverables at the end of the day. And thank you all for being here. It's really important to see this room. This truly is a citizen engagement opportunity. In my conversations with my colleagues, I see the role of City Council here as really the convening vehicle. You know, we are not here with the answers. We are here with the opportunity to create an understanding of the situation, the issue, you know, what's being done presently to support the issues of homelessness, and then finally, what best practices are out there that we could perhaps take advantage of as we move forward in creating policy and support, even if necessary, financial structures to support initiatives such as this one. So I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to doing a lot of listening over the next five meetings and thereafter, and with the hope that at the end of the day, we do have some meaningful outcomes that we can take it and move forward as policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Boylan. And also I wanted to give Council Vice President Salem an opportunity to say a few words if you'd like to.
Thank you, Council Member Howland. I am Michael's vice chair for the overall committee and intend to try to attend as many of these meetings, the homelessness as well as the other two, as I can as a listener and be supportive of the chair here in any way that I can. So thank you, and I look forward to learning a great deal over the next 6 weeks or so.
Terrific. Well, thank you both, and thanks for everyone for being here. I'm really excited about this subcommittee. I think we have an opportunity to look across Duval County, see what we're doing right, see what we're doing wrong, learn from what other cities are doing, adopt best practices, and try to make real change. Anyone who's driven through downtown, driven out to our suburban areas, knows that we have a number of homeless folks in Duval County. And one homeless person is too many homeless people. Anyone who's spent any time in Duval County also knows we have an abundance of resources. There's places where we could shore up our resources, but what we have most are people who care, and we're lucky to be joined by so many who care on this subcommittee. I would like to name the folks that we have listed on the subcommittee who volunteered to help solve and work through the next five meetings and the next 6 months our homelessness issue in Duval County. And if you're here, do please stand. And then when I'm done naming the folks, I'll turn it over to Dawn, and we can get on with the agenda. Angela McKee. Is Angela here?
I'm behind the post.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Angela. All right. Nancy Garcia. All right. Anne Marie Knight. Good friend of mine. I'm so glad she's on the committee. Cindy Funkhauser. All right. Thank you, Cindy. Dawn Lockhart. Is Dawn here? Okay, Allison Martin, Angela Strain, Dawn Gilman sitting right next to me, Ashley Pratt from Mayo, all right, thank you, Ashley, Karina Saldino from Mission House, Shannon Nasworth from Ability Housing, hey, thank you, Shannon, great job on this week in Jacksonville as well.
Thanks so much, appreciate it.
Yeah, Makeo George with NCOJ, Deidre Connor with the Nonprofit Center, Noelle Camot, if I'm pronouncing that right, in the French EAUX pronunciation.
Correct. Support for Beth with the council.
All right, very good. Sarah Schmidt, COJ. Tamika Gaines Holly with Elder Source. Laureen Husband with Feeding Northeast Florida. Beth Mixon, Family Promise. Hey, Beth. Thanks for being here. Paul Stassi, good friend and doing great things in Duval County with City Rescue Mission. Marcus Haight. Monica Solomon, UNF. Chiquita Moore and Charles Moreland, City of Jacksonville. All right, Lauren Steiff. Diana Donovan. Jeff Winkler and Dwayne Alexander. All right, well, maybe about a third are here, but it doesn't matter. We have so many in this room that are going to add to the agenda for today because Dawn's about to tell us how that agenda is going to go, and I think we'll all be excited. It should be an exciting one with a lot of productive output. Dawn, over to you.
All right, thank you. Is this one on? Am I good? Okay, so first, general housekeeping, just so everybody knows, and this will go out to everybody whose email is on that list. If you did not get a chance to put your name and email on the list, please do so. That way you get all the information that we have. So here are the next work group meetings. There are a total of 5 work group meetings, and there are 3 council meetings. And the final meeting will be at City Council, and that is where recommendations from all 3 of the subcommittees, as the council decides, that's my understanding, that is the correct date for the final meeting before the winter break. So why are we here today? What are we trying to do in these next 5 meetings? We are going to look at what is known as the continuum of care or system of care, or what is available for folks who experience housing instability within our community. What's working, what is not working, where is the biggest unmet need, and what are the things that we can do to fix it? So it's a look at not just individual programs, but how does that entire system function together? And I think as we go through this process, many of you already know it, but I think it will become even more apparent to everyone. There's no single agency, there's no single entity that will end homelessness within our community. But if we can function together at our highest levels, that is when we start to make gains, visible gains for the individuals who are experiencing housing instability and for us as persons who are housed as we drive around downtown and the beaches and the suburbs, everywhere where we see folks who do not have a safe place to call home.
Real quickly, sorry to interrupt, Dawn. I just do want to acknowledge we are joined today also by Councilman Carlucci, who just entered the room. Thank you. Oh, and in the back, Council President Terrence Freeman. You're telling me waving and then saying shh. I would never fail to acknowledge our esteemed leader, Council President Terrence Freeman. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you all from City Council that have joined. I think it shows the rest of us, many of us in the audience who have worked in this for a very long time, that this is an important issue, and I feel that we are at a point where we can hopefully make some significant gains. So for this meeting up here, this is how we are going to propose to run. You are only going to need to listen to me for about 10 minutes or so. I am going to run through what I generally do, like what is the system? What is out there? Is lovely as my voice is, it doesn't really get folks to understand how the system works. So I reached out to our colleagues at the National Alliance to End Homelessness, and we're going to play a game that they developed. This is a system simulation game. It is designed with real data so you can see the different parts of the system and how, when you make changes to the system, what happens. So I think this is not an icebreaker game. You don't actually have to come up with any cute anything for anybody, but it will give you a good idea of what do you do if the goal is to substantially reduce or end homelessness in Jacksonville, where should we put the investments? All right, so local system overview. I'm sorry, I can see it from up there. I should be looking down here. So this is what I am going to go through, and you can all read through this, but this is what there is a system in Jacksonville. There is a system that works together, that communicates well, and why do we still have people who do not have a place to call home at the end of the day? And that's what we're going to go through. And I've kind of laid it out so you can see what do we measure, what is out there, and what would it cost to make a significant change? So, and this is, you're going to really go through this with the game. There's basic components of any community that has a homeless system of care. There's coordinated entry, there are emergency shelters, there's transitional housing, there's rapid rehousing, there's permanent supportive housing, and then there is of the HMIS, which is a database that helps connect through data how all of these parts and pieces work. I am going to, and up there also is prevention and diversion, which is a key part of our system, especially as we are going through wanting to reduce the number of people that ever even show up in our system and work with us. So this is often a question that I see Cindy and Shannon are in the room. We always get this question, how many? And I think the key to this is the how many is not a static amount. Way back in 2010, 2011, our community worked with Community Solutions on a 100,000 home project. Like the goal across the country was to house 100,000 of the most vulnerable people experiencing homelessness. The theory was if we could do that, there would be a noticeable difference in chronic homelessness across the country. What we learned was people experiencing housing instability is a dynamic situation. People flow in and out of homelessness, and just setting a static number does not necessarily get you the results that you want. What we are now measuring, especially in our veterans program, which is the one that we have the best, most comprehensive data for, how many people on average in any given month are coming into the system, and on any given month, what is our capacity to rehouse those people in 30 days or less? That is the real goal. How do we build the system to have capacity to respond to anyone who is having housing instability in 30 days or less, and the ultimate goal, resolve that crisis, whether it's going through one of our programs or helping them self-resolve with friends or family or other resources that they might have. So there are many things that we do that measure this. Many of you have probably done the point in time count where you go out and we try to enumerate anyone on any given night. What I was just talking about gets to our by name list, where we actually have a list with everybody's name that we know of within our community that is currently homeless. I just talked a little bit about inflow and outflow. Once you put all those things together, what we come up is with our unmet need. Right now, there are over 3,000 individuals on our by name list, which means that is, like, as of now, if we had the resources, that's everybody that we would work to house. We also use that list to look at what are the changes that are happening within the system, and we can get in more into that. So, what ends homelessness? Right there. That is the answer. A home is what ends any person or family or household's homelessness. If you have a safe place to go with a door that can lock, that you have a legal right to stay in, you are no longer homeless. So that is our ultimate goal. So this is the other question I get a lot. What is the cost, right? So there is a cost for when we walk by someone who is homeless, and there is a cost that it would take us to house them. I'm going to direct you guys to Shannon Nasworth in Ability Housing, who has, and I will give a link to this, and a great report on what it is. There's also another report out of Orlando. So on average, to walk by someone who is chronically homeless, it will cost our community at least $35,000 a year. That's just, and we do, that's just, they're going to cycle out of ER, they're going to cycle out of jail, they're going to hit the homeless shelters. That's just the cost to not resolving their homelessness. The cost to house somebody is about $15,000 to $20,000. I'm bumping it up because, as we all know, there's been rental increases. I used to go with the $15,000 range. I think it's now about $20,000. that's still less. It costs us as a community less to house an individual than allow people to remain homeless. And we never look at the total cost of homelessness to the individual or to the community, because we're paying for it out of about 3 to 6 different systems. Hospitals pay, healthcare systems pay, crisis stabilization units pay, different agencies across the community pay to assist that person. When we house someone, we've got that information. I can tell you, like I said, I know it's gone up to cost people to house someone for a year. Rapid rehousing on average is about $8,000 to $10,000 to rapidly rehouse and keep someone stable. Permanent supportive housing is an ongoing subsidy that costs about $15,000, maybe $20,000. So then you see the total cost together, which is why I think we don't always look at it in that way. So what gets measured and why? All sorts of stuff. And I am going to provide different links as we go through with different meetings so you guys can take a deep look at this data. Some of it is pretty long, and you'll can spend a lot of time on it. But there are community-wide performance measures that we report into HUD on an annual basis. Some of the key ones, indicators that we pay a special attention to, we want to see, is there any kind of increase in people that are the first-time homeless? Right? When we see that number go up, we know that something wrong is happening. So there's a big shift in our community. We also look at returns to homelessness. If we have housed a person and they come back into our system 6 months, 12 months, 18 or 24 months, that's also an indicator that we want to look at. It takes a lot of work for both that individual and for all the agencies they work with to move into stable housing. Once we get them there, we want to do everything in our power to keep them there. And so here's a couple different other things up there. And like I said, I will give you the information for a lot of this so you can take a look at the actual data on this. Okay. And we already talked about this. Can we calculate the cost? Can we calculate the cost of what it would take to significantly reduce, say, street homelessness, chronic homelessness, family homelessness, or total homelessness? The answer is yes. There's a certain number. Once we get to that number of people that we know are flowing into our system, we know how many we have to house to get that number down. Now we're talking math, right? Like if we know on average there's 20 households a month that flow in, we have to build the capacity to house probably more than 20, because we have a backlog of people we also need to house, to make that reduction. So part of when your job, as you're working to inform city council, is to think through where do we invest and how long to get what result. So that's part of why I'm going to ask you to play the game. But this is my challenge to you. As we go through this, what is our specific goal, right? Like, what do we actually want to see at the end of the day? Is our goal we want to reduce the number of people experiencing unsheltered homelessness by 50% in the next 3 years, right? A very specific goal that we can actually measure and start to quantify it. Is it that we want no child to ever spend a night on the street? Is that our goal, that's our focus that we want to put our time and attention on? When we look at that, we have to look at what changes. We also have to look at who does the work, right? There's certain agencies and certain expertise out there. Can we expand those people with the best experience to get their capacity up to achieve that goal? And there's also, I put up here, who pays for it, right? There's always a cost. Housing is an expensive cost for any family, right? It's probably one of the largest expenses people have. So how do we pay for that? And also, how do we pay for the services that are associated with it? When we write budgets for rapid rehousing or permanent supportive housing, there is always a services line item. Those are the people who are working with the people to make sure that they find housing, stay in housing, and when the money or the assistance goes away, they're able to maintain their stability. And then the length of time. This is, when COVID hit, the homeless service system got asked to do a lot. And we knew how to respond to a crisis because we had been in a crisis of affordable housing for the past decade. So we have spent a long time getting to where we are. What's the time it's going to take for us to solve this issue? And that length of time it's going to take is contingent on what we invest to make it happen. Again, it is a fairly simple math problem, and I say that knowing that resources are limited. But what resources could we move to this issue? And are there any resources within the system now that we could shift to something else that would make a difference or a bigger difference? So let's play a game. I'm asking you to play this game because it is a system improvement game, a system redesign game. And I think you are going to come up with good ideas on how to improve or change the system. And it's also important to know, how does the system work right now? So I am going, I'm going to introduce Katie Ross, who works for us, who is going to help us with the game. We have three games set up at three tables, and we need seven volunteers to play each of the games. And we'll try to make this fun and interactive, but if you would like to play the game, please feel free to shift around at the different tables.
Okay. Good morning. Didn't know I could use the microphone. Excellent. So, good morning. As Don said, we have three games set up. We need 21 players. So, if you would like to play this morning, I'm going to ask you to move right now to either these two front tables or the side tables. Now, if you want to play and you're sitting at these tables, you can see where you are.
All right, for those of you who know how to win the game, you are also allowed to play. So you can.
Experience or industry. This is one game, this is one
sure.
game, this is one
game.
So you'll need seven chairs for each game.
I think so. I guess
you are.
I just have to be here. Well, I guess I'm playing.
I'll play one of these boys.
Anyone want to join me over at this one? All right, the three of us?
It's all right.
Yeah.
Let's see, how many do we have?
Yeah. All right, we got four here. Are you joining us?
Yeah, I got two more coming.
We need one more right. player up here.
You'll play?
Awesome. Carnell, you playing the game?
Yes.
We need some chairs. Chairs are not moving.
How are you doing?
I can help with chairs.
Thank you.
How about us? Join us right there.
Oh, I thought she was going to put it over.
I know. I was thinking about that.
No, no.
Does it matter if we sit or stand? It
does not matter if you sit or stand. So
we have a wonderful game
this
here.
Game.
How about here? This table is also a table. We've got three players, I believe.
We're good.
You are Cindy Moore.
I have no idea.
Okay, you can join us right here.
Y'all got seven.
Okay.
This is kind of like that. Yeah.
Two more, that's fine.
Do we have two more people here? Do you like to play the game?
No, I'm good. I'm here to start.
Yeah. Dawn, do you need one?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right here?
Right there.
One more player.
It's okay if you don't know how to, we'll explain.
I got it.
I'll grab one.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, for me.
Perfect. See, I'll have
one more chance. I see the competitive group.
Oh, yeah, we're going to win.
It looks like we have seven players in each
game. We are ready.
Excellent. So the first thing I want you all to do is briefly go around the table, introduce yourselves, and say why you're here today.
All right. I'll start. Nick Howland, homelessness chair of the subcommittee.
Brian Stowe, chief program manager, Saul's blocker. Like everybody here, we want to solve the issue of homelessness.
I'm Beth Bain, of the CEO of the regional council.
TV star.
I don't know about that. Watch the games and stuff. They're not so cool.
Ashley Pratt.
I'm and I'm the director of Free Flow Mobile Care Village, and I'm here because we live out there.
I'm Bowser, CEO of Soul Spreader. I'm here to end homelessness in Jacksonville.
Very nice. That's clear as day. Huh?
Clear as day.
All right.
Just a couple more minutes left for introductions.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.
So we are called up mobile care villages, and we go around the city where they don't have access to Mission House, or they don't have access to Salt Box, right? We work with the outliers because of the
Two minutes for introduction.
So we want to Mobile care village. We have showers and laundry. We're going to do, yes.
We're
getting out there.
Yes, yeah.
We need to coordinate with
that.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
And the mobile medical unit.
Okay, that's great because we want that part of our pop-up mobile care village.
Do you have a car?
I certainly do. Yeah.
All right, value you already.
Yeah, and then then our second level of care is going to be bicycles because we want to first clean them, restore their dignity, but then we want to give them transportation. Then our final unit is going to be
One more minute. We need to move on to the next phase of the game. So please finish up your introductions now.
Everybody's worthy of care, right?
Well, all the good news from our shuttle.
I was thinking about too, the shuttle and our social services.
We'd love to have you with any time.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
Introduction should be coming to a close. Okay, so we are going to move to the next phase of the game. Before we move forward, I want to tell you the objective of the game. This is what you need to look for, right? This is, we're going to begin with the end in mind, as they say. The goal of this game is to place as many beads, no matter what color they are, into permanent housing as possible, and to prevent beads from exiting your system into unsheltered homelessness. That is the goal. Now, for those who did not get a chance to play today, please feel free during about the next hour or so of gaming to get up, kind of walk around, listen in. We want to make sure that you guys are engaged too. So, I'm going to play an instructional video from the people that thought this game up. That will give you a lot of good context and background, and we'll walk you through step by step. Yes, sir?
Just for clarification, permanent housing, can you give us an idea of what that might include?
So, permanent housing is any kind of housing that you have the legal right to stay in. You have some sort of lease, you have an agreement, you may be paying your own fair market rent. There may be an agency, you could have a housing authority voucher, but you have a lease, you are allowed to stay in that place as long as you abide by the terms and conditions of that lease.
Gotcha, thank you.
This brief video will walk you through how to play the homeless system simulation. It is important to listen to the video and not begin to do anything while the video is running. Your instructor will pause the video when it's time for you to do something. The simulation comes with several game boards. The first step is to identify who on your team will be the scorekeeper. This person will then take out the game boards and hand them out to participants in the order on the screen. Your instructor will pause the video now to allow you to do so.
Having a pen is also representative of being a scorekeeper.
Yes.
Once you have your scorekeeper, go to the manila envelope at your table, open it up, pass out the game boards, and please keep them in order.
Game boards
just
in order.
Alright,
sounds good.
Yes,
you're right. Oh, geez.
I got transitional housing.
And it's supposed to be in order? So, enter emergency shelter. That's first transitional or rapid or anything?
Here is the order. They just flashed it very quickly on screen. Intake and diversion is first. Intake and diversion is first. And you may want to hand these out depending on where a person is sitting. You have intake, diversion is first. Second game board should be emergency shelter. Third game board should be rapid rehousing. Fourth game board should be outreach. Then comes transitional housing. And then permanent supportive housing.
There should be one more.
You also have a game board in your packet labeled extra. You'll have an option during the game to perhaps add an extra program. So that's what the extra game board is for. Everybody ready to move on? Okay. In addition to the game boards, you're also going to see instructions for the game, and everyone should have a copy of that, as well as key terms, which I think will also help in the game. Next phase of the piece.
Each game board has corresponding cards held together by rings. In addition, there's a set of system event cards also held together by rings. The player with the scoreboard should receive the system event cards. All other sets of cards are clearly marked to go with each game board. The instructor will pause the video now and allow you to hand out cards to each player. Table should have two bins placed in the center. one for market housing and one for unsheltered homelessness. Each table should also have a bag with several smaller bags full of beads. Locate the bag labeled Game Startup Beads. Each game board, except intake and the scorekeeper, has a number on the bottom left-hand corner explaining how many red and clear beads they should place on their board from the startup bead bag. Norm will place one bead in each of the boxes on the board. You may place them either horizontally or vertically. The red and clear beads can be placed in any order, and you may have some empty slots. Your instructor will pause the video now while each player places your startup beads on your board, following the instructions on the bottom left-hand.
Here she gets six red.
Find the Ziploc bag that says game beads. Find the Ziploc bag that says game beads. Pass along the bag. Take out the beads as instructed at the bottom of your game cards. These are the clients you will be starting with if you have a game board in front of you. This is the bag labeled game bag.
They must be distributed in order to allow.
One red and nine clear. Of your board. We will demonstrate how the game is played by showing you a portion of the first round. Each round begins when the scorekeeper reading aloud the system event card. Next, each player will read their round one cards to themselves. After reading their card, each player will then take their turns one at a time, starting with intake. Game cards have two sections, program rules and exits. For example, the intake card for round one has one program rule, which says to take round one beads and spread them evenly across your columns, except the diversion column. To do this, K, with the intake board, takes the bead bag labeled round one and spreads all of the beads roughly even across the columns. The gray column labeled diversion should be left empty. The intake card also has three exit instructions. The first exit instruction is to exit column D to emergency shelter if there are free slots. K
Kay, with the intake board, talks to Norm with the emergency shelter board to determine how many slots are available. Norm checks the program rules on his card to make sure he can accept these beads. Norm places them in the empty slots on the emergency shelter board. Norm only has 5 open slots in emergency shelter, which means Kay won't be able to send all of the beads from column D to emergency shelter. The second exit instruction is simple. It says to exit column E to unsheltered homelessness. Kay takes all of the beads in column E and places them in the unsheltered homelessness bin. The third exit instruction is to exit the rest to wherever there is space. If there is no space, move to unsheltered homelessness. After reading this instruction, Kay checks with all of the other players at the table to see if any programs have free slots. It is important for the rest of the players to look at their game cards to make sure their program rules allow them to accept these beads. After all the available slots on the game board at the table are filled, Kay places the rest of the beads into the unsheltered homelessness bin. The next player in line is emergency shelter. Their game card says to exit 1.5 columns to market housing. But the card also has a program rule that says do not exit red beads to market housing. Norm takes the clear beads in these columns and puts them in the market housing bin, leaving the red beads. The next instruction for emergency shelter is to exit 1.5 columns to unsheltered homelessness. Norm moves these beads, including the red beads, to unsheltered homelessness. If your game board has an uneven number of slots in a column, do not split a slot in half, but use your judgment about how many beads constitute half of the column. The last instruction for emergency shelter is to exit remaining beads to wherever there is space. Unfortunately, there is no space left on any other game board, so Norm leaves the rest of the beads on his board. The next player is rapid rehousing. The first exit instruction is to exit 3 columns to market housing, which you can see Jennifer doing here, and exit 1 column to emergency shelter. But if there is no space in emergency shelter, then those beads go to unsheltered homelessness. The outreach board has unique instructions. Outreach does not accept beads from other programs, even if there are slots available. All slots for the outreach board must be filled with beads from the unsheltered homelessness bin for each round. After each player has taken their turn, the round ends with the scorekeeper recording the number of beads remaining in emergency shelter and transitional housing. The number of beads in the unsheltered and market housing bins is counted only at the very end of the game. Now we will explain what options the system event cards give your table. There are 3 kinds of system events: adding a program, opening the diversion column, and converting a program. When the system event card gives your table these options, you will have a limited amount of time to decide. If your table fails to decide on a change during this time, by consensus, you forfeit the opportunity. To add a program, give the game board marked extra to the person who is currently managing that program type. This table has decided to add a new rapid rehousing program, so they give the extra board to Jennifer, who is running the rapid rehousing program. The next time it's Jennifer's turn, she will use these extra 20 slots. When a program is added, regardless of the program type, it adds 20 more slots to that type. You cannot add an intake program. If your group chooses to open that diversion column, for the remaining rounds, the intake player now spreads the beads out roughly even on the intake board, utilizing the gray column marked diversion. To convert a program, cross out the old name on the game board and write in the new name. This table decided to convert transitional housing into rapid rehousing. Anna crosses out transitional housing on her board and writes in rapid rehousing. The number of slots will stay the same, and the beads currently in the program will remain. During the following rounds, when Jennifer reads the cards for rapid rehousing, Anna will play along to the same instructions. This simulation is obviously a very simplified version of how homelessness assistance works. However, it was designed using actual data for outcomes of programs in different communities across the country. As you play, think about how it is similar and different from homelessness assistance in your community. Your facilitator will now start the game.
If you have not already done so and you have a game board in front of you and beads, please place your beads in your columns.
Which column?
Whichever
that has a letter.
Here you go. Think of it like a bingo card. You're going to put a bead in each little spot. Sir?
I want to ask you, what does clear beads mean? What does
Great, great question. So what's the difference between clear beads and red beads? Red beads are represented clients or households that may be more acute, a higher level of acuity, so more challenges, more barriers. Okay, everyone has their beads on their board.
Well, the question is,
however many you have, fit them on the page. Each player must take their turn in order. You must wait until the person before you has completed all of their actions on the board for that round.
All right, round
two. To our scorekeepers, you should count all persons in transitional housing and emergency shelter at the end of each round. And let us begin. Round one. Intake, take the beads in round one and follow the directions on your card. Scorekeepers, please read the system event for round one. Scorekeepers, you're looking at the system event right now for round one. Our intake folks, take the Ziploc bag labeled round one, put them on your board.
Oh, but you can put all reds in your concrete, unless that's unfair to cheat afterwards.
Sorry. It doesn't matter.
I've got no space, but there's two spaces in there.
Allery's can't take
it. I have four.
You've got the four cubes. Yes. So you should have the There's four. Okay. Thank you so very much.
So just scoop them.
Did they all go?
Yeah. I mean, Cindy or two of them.
Use your best judgment.
There you go.
Place remaining beads wherever there is space.
Okay.
Did I miss
one?
Exit three columns to market housing. And we want mostly clear.
No reds, not in there.
Tell me the reason for that. Exit one column to emergency shelter. If there's no space, exit this column to emergency shelter. So we do have space on a red and
okay.
Four.
Five
cubes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's reality.
Yeah. If there's no space, exit the rest of this column to emergency shelter. So I think I'm good.
Correct.
It was exit three columns to market housing, and then we did that exit one column to emergency shelter. Space exit one to emergency shelter. So I was able to do that over
there. Okay, so you're good.
All right.
100% beads from anyone, beads from unsheltered homelessness. Place beads wherever there's space. There's most of the current beads under. I can take two.
It's only around one.
Well, I wanted to ask you as a person.
All right. Sales Blocker, folks.
We go for the
challenge.
We take for the highest.
All right. I can decide when you can take less beads than I have. So, like I said, one column is a market house.
So, one is still will be
all right. So, yours is done.
One column to emergency.
So, I'm exiting.
Well, okay, so that's it for round one. Oh no, I'm not sure round one.
I just thought about who we should call. Ability Housing. It's a housing
who's playing the game? The we are.
Okay. That's the answer. That's a great answer.
All right, so we can either add a program or open to the virtual call, which do you wish to
use?
Turn something into rapid rehousing, right?
No, we can add a program. So this sheet, we can add this sheet to somebody's stack or open the diversion.
We can do diversion or rapid rehousing.
First, each round, reading the end, starting with intake, everybody goes one at a time, looking at what's in their little flip over there. So their actions are with their little flip.
Sometimes makes us kick some out.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many?
Oh, we didn't open the version.
Right.
Okay. If the group decided to open the version, call in F to work on housing. Okay, call in D to emergency shelter. There's.
I don't know what I'm on.
I think you're under arrest. No.
Okay.
How many do you need? How many do you need?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
What does it say?
It says.
You need to be
reread.
So that's. Okay,
so this is.
Okay.
Which one's your right? There you go.
Oh, wait,
another sheet that adds another.
The rest. yes, to wherever there is space. If there is no open,
I have rapid rehousing. Do I count?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have 2, 4, 6.
We also have a totally open warehouse.
Right.
And they're red. So can I start here for you, my reps?
Yes.
Just from column D.
Yeah.
All right. Go back to you.
2, 4, 6, 8.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, I don't think so.
It was only from column B that she could over.
No, the rest. But to wherever there is rest.
Oh, go.
No. Yeah.
So give her all the rest. Because that's where rest should ultimately end up.
Open up the version if you want to add a new
circle. Great. I mean, some can be okay in rapid rehousing, but
what programs or what criteria?
High bash and
it is. So supportive housing, it has affordable rents. So usually rental assistance for a property that just has the ability to provide.
I also have any rent. Thank you.
And then intensive overtime support services.
Somebody that's been almost 12 months.
Do we have a decent supply of supportive housing in Jacksonville?
Do we offer?
All right. Do not exit red beads. Okay, we're good. There. Exit three columns from market housing.
Yay! We want that one full.
Exit column one to emergency shelter. Exit one column to emergency shelter. If there is no space, so I'm good. Yeah, exactly.
You're really getting people out of there.
Yeah,
so I'm going to place beads wherever there's space.
Well, let me ask you all a question.
I'm going to start with high acuity. I think I'm going to put mine in rapid rehousing with the intent of converting it to permanent supportive housing in the future.
Awesome.
All right. That allows that.
I'll write mine up here, but it's mine.
Trying to keep them out of the shelter if I can. There's no surprise. The balls are going to take mine.
Yes, we don't want to open shelter.
No.
Version.
Well, it says first I have to
round three.
we can convert any. Oh yeah, we have to count. So how many? Is that 25? We can convert any program.
Okay. You know what, Dan? This is what I mean. I want to shift all of my real ones, if I can, to that conversion program. If we're the best thing for.
No, we can't make. We can't open conversion.
Me and you, if we're willing to do that, we can shift all of our real ones to conversion program.
Think of it as very complicated.
We're definitely not converting.
Not just shelter.
So it's either going to have to be place. Okay, so we filled our boards up. Place the beans wherever they are.
I got it.
I'm always permanent.
So I'll let you all say. I'll let you all say. What's the vote?
How many of them? Shannon.
Shannon, do you agree with that?
I'm sure.
I am just the gatekeeper.
Let's give it a try.
I get to shoot all the bills.
I get to read bait, so I don't get to.
I would say she'd rather just board up.
Thank you. I mean, if the goal is to have them in permanent legal housing, then that's...
Well, refugee housing is also considered
permanent legal housing.
But you have so
many
friends. Yeah. Oh, I'm not disagreeing.
No.
Okay.
The clears.
Come on.
Okay, so round three, what's your instructions? Right, whenever she reads her.
I think we're round three.
We're both purpose
more because it is. What do you think we are?
We're not right.
I'm not.
Exit the rest. I think we have space within.
I think we're at 67%. We're trying to get up to 70.
We already did some.
Oh, we can't go back to the
nope.
No.
They need some kind of services before they just go out.
Well,
we want our beds full.
The burst is keeping people from entering, which I really like.
It's good for them.
Pointless, but not the rest.
Yeah.
If the group decides to open diversion in
Catholic charity,
our community.
Okay.
Okay, so in spaces.
Column A is to emergency shelter if there is space.
No.
The rest wherever there is space.
I got four.
Do you want red?
Round three, I told you guys want to give me red.
Oh, we went clear.
Clear.
I've got 10.
What do you think, Cindy? Red or
part of the issue providing
the service. Four there.
Give her as many reds as she has.
No.
Let's say.
Oh, you can only do that column. Oh.
Does this kind of cordial partnership exist between the different stages of
we try to work for yes for a balance.
How many do you have left?
One way is that you got to put off the house. That's great.
Get in, so there's five
the states
that we need it. The real world as it works. You're calling people up.
Because over time, everything
will be all the time, every day.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Y
Is there anything electronically to make it so that it's fewer phone calls?
Yes.
And
like capacity boards and you go.
To set that up for emergency shelters. So you can see in live time what's going on.
We have coordinated intake. It
just set up for all the houses.
But you're saying that the person
who's where and how to get somebody in.
When we get grants from the city.
So I got one.
I was going to say, is October still in flux month? Are we going to get a whole bunch that come down? So I worked for Mayor Brown for a little bit. So obviously there's a lot of focus on but when we were monitoring when, it always seemed like October was when all the northern states would give the bus tickets out. And then, because we're the first.
Good job.
Rapid rehousing is
why it's shelter seems to be
sure.
You also only have 10 staff.
We don't have to.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It's just an option.
What is the population?
Everybody's
population.
So do we want to make rabbit? Does that make sense? So why do we want to, so which one do we want?
And the other thing you could convert would be emergency.
I think we have a good
system. Okay, so everybody's agreeing we don't have to. Yeah. Yeah. Really, it's a bunch of priorities, but maybe we can kind of separate.
Point all those
things.
Not sure. 10:10. Then we have till 11. I think we're doing okay as long as we.
Okay.
Stop.
So what we pay was a stream by five.
We're going to 10:30, folks.
10:30 hard stop, right? Yeah. Oh, is it my turn?
Almost.
Oh, we are.
Is that pillar up?
We are the furthest along.
Now what else? Problem A, shelter, their space, or rest to wherever there is.
That's me. I don't know much about it. I don't.
Yeah, so you have
So I focus on it. We need to expand from there.
You're empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think we will give it to a man that has us
recapture. Last round, y'all.
Oh, it says no repping?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All my clearance.
I don't know if my column 5 will say yeah, I have to beats, but I'm guessing because I can see. So I'm I might have to exit some red beads. I'm guessing.
Every house has gotten severe chronic.
And that round process,
I think to eliminate the change into permanent. So you go from that to
one of the things that when I came back
services come back to your operation and we can't expand your restaurant service. One thing the key component that is that a lot of
I'm surprised he's not here yet.
Which round are you all?
We're done.
Woo!
Woohoo!
We have the overachiever group.
And look how many people, look how many reds are in permanence. We have 3 permanence ornaments.
Well, you guys did have a little bit of extra knowledge.
Yeah, you want to split them up?
I think you need to know my rapid rehousing.
How many do you have in rapid rehousing?
10 total with 7 red and 3 blue. Finishing up?
Yeah, every they're on rounds 3 and 4.
Nice.
So yeah, we hard stop.
That'll help. Yeah.
Okay, so this is all my needs for round 4. This speaks right here going below.
It's okay.
I would agree.
Charvet's well researched. Carnell Olive.
Is there any other space?
Some laughing and smiling. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you got Carnell Olive a good bit.
Yeah, well, and then it's like, what are the remedies? We're like, with higher barriers.
That's wink.
She has a lot of space.
She didn't have any. I
mean, Problem solving, we try to divert at the front, and we've actually almost
self-resolution, right? Like, as we're going.
Version is just immediately taking the supportive housing away out without putting in shelter.
It's having, yeah.
Giving 5 more minutes. We have 5 more minutes.
And if you have a good case manager, and do a little family notification.
It was the version of the
get funding.
Okay, yeah,
public money for the staffing. It's the money that
it doesn't, my car broke down, no one pays for that.
But Catholic Charities and the Jewish but you guys at the emergency shelters can coordinate with those two to get emergency systems that might keep keep somebody out of the shelter.
It's there. They are in the parking lot at City Rescue Mission.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's like the best place for it to occur.
Just expand it to
and people are already in a crisis. And it's, we would have, that would be a true system-wide diversion. And it would be agencies figuring out how.
I think the transitional housing could be a good thing.
Prevention is,
what the problem is that
or something like that. But you're not a victim.
But if you take that person and take 20 steps backwards, could there have been certain interventions that could have kept them from ending up in the parking lot at the...
But we also, part of what this game could give is there's very limited resources.
All right, yeah, it's around time. So maybe longer than that. Is a pushing then.
Right.
That's why I put up that specific goal, right? Like, if the goal is to reduce people sleeping out of the bathroom, what works? What's that?
I mean, it seems to me that the amazing game, the only flaw in the game, is they keep starting out with the set amount of bags. How do we get people before they even become a bean in the bag that is intake?
Or how do we create more sheets on the table?
Or create more sheets on the table in the interim until we develop ways to keep more
beans in the bag. The ultimate goal.
What can we do in 1 to 3 years versus, right? So, because, I mean, the most any of our grants are like 3 years, right? So we can plan something for 3 years. So how do we...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the consistency. We need that.
The other thing, though, is triaging. That's the highest level.
One more minute.
Okay, so what step are we on now?
Scorekeepers, add up your scores for each round, please.
Well done, guys. We'll see how it scored compared to everyone else.
It is 10:30.
I'm slinking out of here.
All right,
I'm
slinking. Go re-elite all the stuff on the table. I'll get it when we're done. Coming back together as a group. Discuss.
The question was having more sheets on the table. In Jacksonville, we're at about 75% capacity. So what sheets do you want more? Rapidly has
it. Rapidly has everything on the table as it is.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
For the system, I would put more into coordinated intake at the front end. Yeah. That's where the diversion is.
Yeah.
Just, we've got shelter that can be used more.
Oh, it's Friday night.
Yeah.
Especially if people are out.
Yep.
Thank you all for participating in our game.
All right. Do can our scorekeepers at the three tables, are you willing to, could you please share your scores? We'll start, who is the scorekeeper? Shannon. What was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I reminded this is a publicly noticed meeting, so we all need to speak into the mic, so that makes it easier for everybody else. So Shannon was the scorekeeper for this table. Can you tell us what your score was?
The final game score, 444.
444. And then the scorekeeper for this table.
I need to do the
math. Oh, he's still doing some math. Okay. Who was the scorekeeper? Harrison is also doing his math. So as we have people pulling on their calculators to do math, start thinking, let me just grab some of my cheat sheet questions for the game. And this is, you didn't have to put in a card to answer these questions. Just raise your hand and I will bring the mic to you. But what do you think was realistic or not realistic as you were playing with that one?
The large number of beads coming in every day.
Yes.
Was realistic.
Okay.
I would say the same thing, but I didn't look at them as different beads coming in. I looked at them as OP people. They went out. They went out.
There's some of that definitely when D-track comes back into the system. We don't have our scores yet.
Gone, I got.
Wait.
I think the confusing nature of the process and the complexity of the process.
Okay, as someone who's worked in the system for over a decade, yes, that is realistic. I mean, it everything, once we get it figured out, something major changes, and then we feel sometimes like we're starting all over ourselves, which has to be people who are actually experiencing housing instability, it has to even be more confusing to try to navigate the system.
Don, I see a hand in the back there, too.
I think one of the things that I've learned about this process is that the expansion of just permanent housing on the front end can create more opportunities to get more influx of people within the system. We did that with just one of our existing programs. We crossed that over into both a mix of rapid rehousing, permanent rehousing. We was able to bring in more people in my mind, but I don't know what the numbers will look like.
All right, so I'm gonna guess that you guys might have had a low score. Here's that.
So through round four, our score was 204.
So 294 versus 444. And we are still doing some adding over here. So we just had that. So when you convert something to some sort of permanent housing, and that the table up here asked me to explain. So let me just give a brief synopsis of what is rapid rehousing, what is permanent supportive housing, and what is transitional housing. If you are in transitional housing, you are still homeless. You may be allowed to stay there for up to 2 years. And there are house rules. So you can be kicked out for violating those rules. You do not hold a lease. You have no legal recourse. You have no legal tenants' rights in transitional housing. Rapid rehousing, the best description I've ever got, is think of it as an income program with temporary housing supports, meaning you will have a short-term, pre-COVID, it was on average in our community, 6 to 9 months of what we call temporary financial assistance, specifically for your housing. The whole focus of case management is to ensure when that assistance ends, your household is able to pay rent.
And that's under what?
Rapid rehousing. Permanent supportive housing is our most expensive intervention. It is specifically for folks who have been homeless for a long period of time and have a diagnosed disability. If you are in permanent supportive housing, P is permanent as long as you choose to be there, as long as you, again, there's a lease. You have a lease. You have to abide by the terms and conditions of your lease. You can stay in that place. Does that help everyone on those different? Okay, did we get our last? We still got beads counting up over there.
Well, while they're counting, I might make a comment. My favorite part about this simulation was the fact that you can query each other and the institutional knowledge around the table that each team had to learn about each element of the unhoused. And in particular, what was really interesting is what we determined out here was twofold. One, that we don't have enough sheets on the table. We wish we had more sheets on the table. And those sheets in particular were the rapid rehousing and the permanent supportive housing. And another thing we learned is one of the limitations of the game, but it made clear, and it made the game that much more impactful, was there was a new bag every round with a set amount of marbles. So one thing we should concentrate on in real life is what we do preemptively from a preventative standpoint to keep people from getting to the point where they're entering into the system. So all sorts of good takeaways running through this simulation today.
If I could add as well, I think the unique nature of some of the stories and experiences out there. So when you talk about institutional knowledge, we're talking about people who are experiencing homelessness sitting at the table and found that this, you know, each story is unique. And it's important to us, as I mentioned to Noel, that we capture those. Numbers are one thing, but stories or another, I mean, understanding people's experiences and how very different each of those are. So there is no one size fits all in terms of solving this problem.
When I see, you know, being out homeless, I figure that, you know, I look at it real. I'm very real looking at it. And a lot of people that are homeless, they really, to be honest with you, they have a mental disturbance. They're mentally disturbed. Mm-hmm. And then the other half, they don't want to work. They don't want to work. People come around and ask people to help them to get money. They don't want to go to work. I'm handicapped. I'm trying to go to work. You know? They don't want to go to work. So it's not just like they're homeless. They just don't care. They gave up on life. I told a dude the other night, I said, man, why are you doing that, man? You ain't doing nothing but kill yourself. You know what he told me? I don't care. I got COPD. I could die any day. Okay? I'm trying to live. But he don't care. He was 32 years old. I didn't understand. And then they got this stuff they call Molly. Lord, they're going crazy all over the place. And all they want to do is fuss and fight. That's all they're doing. Hurting each other. I don't know why they attacked the man with himself. I don't know. They got me messed up. I got to the point where I don't even speak to nobody no more. Because they're crazy. Really, it makes me feel like I'm going to go crazy too.
We have one, two, three.
Quick question is for the disability, and you don't have to define it, but.
Use microphone. Microphone, please.
How do you define disability? You can have a mental disability, you can have a physical disability, you can have. Or do you have to be on SSDI?
So a disability is any. A doctor has to diagnose the disability. It can be a physical disability. It can be a severe and persistent mental illness. It can also be an addiction disability. So if you have two of those, we call you duly diagnosed. If you have three, which many of the folks we serve do, then you're tri-morbid. So that is, any of those can be a disability within our system.
As we look at how we build a census around it, you have Charles Barker going to get ready to open up a new center that's going to be building a lot of affordable housing. Then you have the city owns a lot of land. One of the things that I've run into conversations with, and I just helped a brother get into the Men's Liberty Center, they stayed slam packed. And if we somehow utilize the basic resources that we have in this community, like the city owned land, and create a stronger partnership and provide some seed money and help bring down the cost, like putting a cap on housing across the board from those that are coming in who are disabled to those that are re-entering our society from our criminal justice system. You know, we have that low level of control.
All right, so a lot of that's going to be in the next meeting, right? What resources? No, that's okay. That encourages everybody to come to the next meeting, which is the total purpose. So what resources are available at the local, state, and federal level to either build or rehab deeply affordable housing, right? There's another committee that's talking about affordable housing, and affordable housing is a huge range from workforce housing to housing the people that are exiting homeless can move into. We're talking at one of the tables up front. So affordable housing means you only have to pay 30% of your income to live in that house. So if you are on Social Security disability, Shannon or Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, or Brian, it's about $125 a month that you would pay towards your housing. I can guarantee you there is no open market housing available in Duval County for $125 a month. So there are other subsidies, like you were saying, that have to go into market rate housing to make it affordable for someone who is on that type of system.
Don, I think we know the scores from all three teams, from what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, and the competitive nature of me wants to.
Wants to know.
So I would say Team Christine has scored 364.
Okay. So 444, 364. We had one that was just under 300, which you guys were, congratulations, just like Jacksonville, you're in the average range. That's good. We're striving for great for this. So of our three teams, how many of the three opened up diversion? Did you guys do diversion?
We did not. Looks like that team with the lowest
Diversion, amazing. And I think I see several people that knew what diversion was that chose to do it. How many people converted a program? Yep. How many chose to convert to a permanent housing program, rapid rehousing or permanence program? Oh, see, you guys were paying attention in the beginning. So yeah, that makes a difference. The first time we as a community played this game was 2014, I believe. That was right as we as agencies started to make choices about moving away from transitional housing to rapid rehousing for people to have more opportunities.
My question still is, What about the agencies that promised houses and people never got them? Explain them what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about.
So she was talking, I believe, about housing, the housing that was built, people put sweat equity in for, and then were not able to move in or stay there. I do not have an answer for that because I don't know exactly what happened. I will look into, talk to some of those agencies and see what I can find out.
Have a couple of humanities with one of them.
One of them. Four.
We work at our sweat, and half of us was disabled. We could only lift up maybe a board. We could only maybe rake something. But we worked for our house. They said we had to get our own property. I had my own property. I'm ready to buy my property now. I want my house.
So that, I will work.
I love Timmy Carter. It was nothing I did not do.
I understand you. Unfortunately, that is not something that I have worked directly with, but I will work on finding out the answers to that. Most of the housing that we as a system develop, we're either building something that becomes affordable housing, it's guaranteed affordable, or we are renting on the open market. Almost nothing within the homeless system of care goes towards home ownership. We hope that folks that we assist into housing and stabilize then can move into being able to purchase their own home. But I've got one and two.
I'd like to know why HUD and Section 8, they are backed up in the applications.
I'm so glad you asked that question.
Repeat the question.
So, why is the waiting list so long in Jacksonville and every other community in the United States for Section 8 housing?
Because they don't care.
That's
simple.
So, let's think about it in a different way. Because people sometimes say, I don't think we should subsidize housing. So there's two ways to look at housing subsidies. Anyone who lives in a home who takes a tax write-off for the interest on their home is living in federally subsidized housing. If we could convert that to asking for more tenant-based rental assistance, which is Section 8 housing or vouchers, we would have more housing. Right now, only one out of four people who qualify for Section 8 housing will ever access it. That is, it is purely a funding issue.
But they say you have to have an income in order to get on Section 8, and I have an income. And the list is still so long, they're supposed to move you up, in which they the ones that don't have no income, they're the ones that are getting the house.
So Dwayne Alexander was here from the Jacksonville Housing Authority. He has left, but I will. I am continuing to develop people speak at the different lists. That we are not unique in that 3/4 of the people who try to get into Section 8 housing will never actually get a voucher. I can tell you, yesterday we did Hill Day, so I was advocating nationally that we increase that tenant-based rental assistance by $32.1 billion. The frustrating part of that is a large portion of that would just go to pay for the increases in fair market rents, right? Because remember, on the Section 8 vouchers, they're paying the landlord what fair market rent is. So as the rents go up, they're paying more money to those landlords.
One more.
And then we're at 12 minutes too, so this will be our last one. We'll do a quick wrap up, if that is okay with everybody.
I think she made a great point in what she had to say, but I just wanted to kind of like give it more like in layman terms, right? If you're looking for affordable housing, let's say in our city budget, allocates a certain amount of dollars for certain things. So let's say the city of Jacksonville provides $100,000 to help people with housing, right? That's a good example. And $100,000 represents a number of people. Now I want you to think about tax cuts on the federal level and some of those things that they do on the federal level. Somebody's drastically impact by policy decisions from one level or another. So when you talk about like you're waiting on to get your subsidized check, I want you to understand something. If Congress sets a budget at $32 million to help people get Social Security, that's going to only help 1 million people. But you have a backlog of 30 million people. So you either raise taxes or bring down that backlog, or hopefully everybody that's on that backlog dies out so it can reduce.
Thank you. I think we have to wrap up one or two more comments, and then we probably have to start wrapping up.
I just want to say that I have no problem with asking the federal government for money. However, I think we need to think of this as our problem in Jacksonville and try to get some of the, you know, the large churches, like I'm Catholic. I'd like to see more involvement by the diocese of, you know, St. Augustine. I'd like to see if we can, as a community, get people in the community to donate money. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right, we have one more. Oh, we do have a comment. There we go. Not being an elected official, I'm used to just Q&A, not official comments. So thank you for keeping me on track with that. And there was.
I'm thinking about the rapid housing.
Rapid housing.
Yeah. So we got X amount of schools that they done shut down.
Oh, yes.
Real people. They make rapid housing out of them because they had to pay for them.
We're doing that.
I know. Shannon asked for mobility housing just left. I think from these comments, what I'm going to probably do is switch up the next meeting a little bit and send out some information on what does it cost to do some of these ideas, right? Because that was kind of my thing when I said, what do we want to change, who will do the work, and how do we pay for it, right? Those are things, if we want to change the system, those are three things that need to be addressed. So, number one, how much is the city currently putting in? Right, specifically towards homelessness, what comes from the state, what do we get federally? Those are just big picture things that we can do. But also, if we talk about building, like Sulzbacher is building a new affordable housing complex, what does it take to the time? Oh, I'm confident. There we go. I'm wishing it into existence. There we go. By just sheer force of will. How long did it take, right? We can even look at the villages. It's already in existence. As someone who was in the full planning, how long does it take to plan for it, fundraise for it, acquire the land for it, and then do the physical construction? And what else is out there? What are other cities doing that maybe allows them to accelerate that progress, right? Because if our goal is to house more people, we need places, affordable places for people to live. So for the city council person, I will.
For the last comment.
Last comment.
I just want to make sure that I get on the email list that receives your information.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't know how to do that, but
we'll get you. We'll make sure.
My friends can help me with that.
Yes. I have your email.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much for leading us in this game. The purpose of this first of five meetings on homelessness as part of the Special Committee on the Critical Quality of Life was to understand the issue of homelessness in Jacksonville and to scope the issue of homelessness in Jacksonville. I can't think of a better way than that simulation we just did. It gave such a broad overview of the issues that we face and the scope of the problem. So thank you very much to Dawn Gilman and to Katie Ross. A quick round of applause for leading that. All right. And next item on the agenda is public comment. We do have to take public comment in these meetings, of course, and we welcome them. And we have one speaker card, and that is, how do you say it? Mr. Carnell Oliver. And, sir, you will have 3 minutes.
I ain't going to use 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to be very honest. This whole simulation has been very good because I've been through the process. I know where the failures are. I know what actually worked. working with the collective group of the people that we brought together, we were able to find out if we can just change one program over to permanent housing. We created, we brought down our backlog to a certain number. And if we was able to finish the game, I know that we could have got more done. The system is broken because we're not looking at the failures. And sometimes the ones that know the failures are the ones who've been through the process. They know the weaknesses in the system. And one of the things that we've got to make very clear in our community is that for every voter that votes in this community, if you don't vote in the right direction, when it comes down to federal, state dollars, you're thinking, oh, we're going to see more problems just pile on. As we try to get through the issues best we can, we're going to be in a world of trouble. People are hurting. It's only going to get worse, and the system's hurting because we're not participating in the process. But us not participating in the process the way we just did, especially exercising our vote, a lot of the problems that we took on with our team was able to solve. But if we could continue to play the game, we would have brought down our numbers even lower.
All right.
Thank you, sir. And with that, no other speaker cards. We'll move to closing remarks. And Don, welcome to make some closing remarks.
Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone that attended and also congratulate you because you have a best practice group here. We have people from all different sectors. We have people with the lived expertise of our system. We have people who run programs within our system. We have local elected representatives who get to make those choices. And we have general public individuals who just, this is a concern of theirs. So I am very optimistic that as a group, we will be able to figure out what is it that we would like to recommend. Now I've been doing this a while, so I've actually written down what I think I would like to see, and it's in an envelope, but I will not share it with you for a while. Because there's a lot of different options. So as we go through this, keep thinking, what would it take to solve homelessness or a piece of homelessness? What could we break down and measure and put a dollar amount to and a time limit for so we could actually see progress and then build on that progress? So thank you all for attending, and I hope you all are here in 2 more weeks. Thank you.
And I think Councilman Boylan would like to make a few.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I thank you both for your leadership on this and the folks from the Northeast Florida Regional Council for their support in this process. The intent of today's meeting was to understand the scope of the issue. And I'm hopeful that we stay on track as you take a look at our agendas. So the next focus, as we heard, is going to be on what's being done now. What is working out there? How successful is it? And where the shortcomings are? And then to move on from there in their third, fourth meeting, take a look at some best practices or opportunities that are already available in our community that we're not fully utilizing. So be patient with us as we go through this process. It's really important we do it this way. And I understand the sense of urgency for some people in the room. I get it. I truly understand it. But government doesn't work that fast, unfortunately. I wish it did. Again, thank you all for your continued participation, and we'll continue to keep moving this forward. I learned a lot today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I really appreciate all the participation today. I'm awed by the knowledge and the experience that we have in this room, and I'm very confident that we will find ways to improve the system and develop best practices, not only across our city and our state, but across our nation. Thank you very much for participating today. Next meeting is 2 weeks from tomorrow, September 30th, 9 a.m. Meeting adjourned.
I know it.